This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. And we head to Jeff Bliss Does Vegas Report, a golf course. A golf course where everything you touch is made of gold. Jeff, a very good evening to you. You found a secret golf course in Las Vegas. What does it do? What does it cost?
Good evening, John. This is Shadow Creek, and it's not even a course that people really know about in a lot of ways. It's there up in the east northeast part of Vegas, I believe. And it has the most expensive single day green fee, I believe, of any course in the nation. It's $1,250 to play there for one round, just one day. And, you know, I believe there are other extras you can invest in if you want while you're there. Now, for a long time, Wynn Golf Club was more expensive. I think that was around $1,000 or so. And it still is willing to charge you for a $1 million millionaires package during F1 race there in Vegas. But really, the everyday cost of golfing, the most expensive place is Shadow Creek. And wow, it is pricey for sure.
Now, Jeff, you've shown me a photograph. It looks like a postage stamp in the midst of what I would say was a grid system. It doesn't look exotic. I've seen photographs of golf courses in the Southwest where you have rolling sand dunes and alligators and bobcats. What is worth $1,250 over what looks like a postage stamp?
It does look like a postage stamp from the photos that we see of it, certainly because they're aerial photos. However, it's supposed to be very nice inside on the grounds. It does host professional golf tournaments there, men's and women's. But it's the idea of being a fairly exclusive club. And I believe it's the part about the exclusivity doesn't necessarily have to do with buying a membership like some clubs are exclusive. It's the fact that it's so expensive that very few people can afford to play there. That said, you know, Vegas is filled with a lot of millionaires, and it certainly attracts a lot of millionaires and billionaires. So I was surprised that it was that low when they were talking about it being the most expensive club. I could see in the very near future being $2,000 easily, because there are a lot of people who come to Vegas. They're willing to pay just about anything. The amount of money they spend on food and beverages alone is just mind-boggling. We visited with one of the managers at a somewhat exclusive restaurant dance club in MGM called MGM Grand called Hakusan. And they have several levels of different clubs and restaurants, bars in the building. And they were telling me when they have bottle service, which is when you're in this dance club and the DJ is playing and the servers come by, waitresses, how much these bottles of champagne cost. Now, these are bottles of champagne that, you know, just if you go down to the local liquor store, you might be able to get for $1,000 or $800. But once you're in there, they're upping the price to, say, $2,000 or $3,000 for a bottle easily. So and they're just buying bottle after bottle after bottle, because this is Las Vegas and that's just what people do in Vegas.
OK, we go from Las Vegas back towards L.A. and there's a snowstorm. Does it ever snow in Las Vegas?
It does occasionally snow in Las Vegas. Heck, it even occasionally, rarely, snows in L.A. Now, it doesn't usually stay on the ground, but in the mountains and the high hills, the high foothills around L.A., sometimes it sticks. And about 45 minutes from Vegas is Mount Charleston, and it has a ski resort, which is reputed to be quite good. Matter of fact, I'm planning to go up there one of these days. But, you know, it's one of these kind of little-known secrets. People say it's a wonderful place to go. I've been in Vegas many times when you look up into those mountains near them and the snow coverage is just phenomenal. So I can only imagine how great the skiing is there.
We go through the snowstorm and we get to Los Angeles. Now you've sent me a video of downtown Los Angeles that looks remarkably like the video I saw 2 or 3 or 4 years ago that you sent me. Remember you were down there and or someone was down there driving around where the railroad station is, and block after block, sidewalk after sidewalk filled with sleeping people or people just sitting there smoking something. And now you send me a video from 2024. Looks worse. Now, Karen Bass was elected to clean up the town. Is there a pressure on her, or is this okay with them?
There's a lot of pressure on her, that's for sure. I mean, this is one of the the main areas of focus in the mayoral campaign, which she won, and it's an ongoing problem. They knew going in day one it was going to be a challenge, and I don't think anybody could reasonably expect her to make a huge dent, but at least make some forward progress. Now, every so often, like today, they announced that they pulled 20 people out of an encampment and put them in a facility. But you have those little incremental things. Unfortunately, it doesn't address the root causes. And it's like, you know, they say, you hear some officials say, we're just playing whack-a-mole. You get rid of one encampment, another one pops up over here. And that's really what happens, because we don't address the root causes, and we continue to incentivize homelessness through a variety of ways, you know, actually including money to homeless people for different things that don't bring them off the state streets and encourage them to stay there. So really, she's not making much headway. She'll say, you know, we've moved X thousands of people off the streets and into facilities. But if you go through downtown LA or some of the outlying areas, you're hard pressed to find any kind of difference being made. And as you point out in that video you saw, it looks like something out of Mad Max, very dystopian. You have open fires burning for warming, I guess. You have people taking drugs in the open. You have encampments. You have storefronts, many storefronts closed down. And when I talk to people who are retailers or people who live in the area around those, they just say, look, you can't afford to be there because the homelessness problem is so difficult. You know, you have security issues for people that work there or come to buy goods from you, or you have to pay security to look after your building, or you have to pay for repairs for the damage done by people trying to use the facilities or be squatters there. It's a big problem.
We go from Los Angeles to worse. This is Oakland, beyond doom loop. There is a protest in Oakland by the people who voted in the mayor starting January of 2023. There's a recall protest, 12,000 signatures announced on the TV. They need 25,000. Why? Has to do with, the word rampant doesn't make it, but I'll try it. Rampant crime. I saw a video Jeff sent me where two young men attack a woman with a purse in the open, daylight. And she doesn't want to let go of her purse, so they drag her across the road. I don't see the end of it, but it's outrageous. And these two perpetrators, what happened to them? We don't know. This is Oakland in the daytime. The genius idea at Oakland, if I read this correctly, Jeff, is that they're going to rename the Oakland airport Oakland San Francisco or something like that. That'll fool everybody, and in and out will be right back. Is that right, Jeff?
That's right. There is talk about renaming Oakland's airport because they feel that there's too much of a stigma attached to the name Oakland these days. And to be honest with you, they're correct, but that doesn't change the problem. And, you know, one of the main crime areas they've been dealing with is around the Oakland airport. They call it the Hagenberger area of Oakland, where you've had In-N-Out, which is the vaunted California hamburger chain, which is for the first time ever closing one of their franchise, one of their businesses there. Denny's is moving out. A whole host of other stores and restaurants have moved out because they can't deal with the crime and the homelessness there. But what we've got going on now in Oakland is a recall move to get rid of Oakland Mayor Sheng Tao, who's, you know, fairly young, 38-year-old, Berkeley grad, grew up in the area, actually over in Stockton, but lived in the Oakland area. She worked through city council and then moved up to become mayor. But the problems are so bad now that even ultra-liberal Oakland, the same one that voted her in, is saying we got to get rid of her. So kind of with lightning speed, you know, they're only 3 weeks into the signature gathering for a petition to recall her. They're moving along quite well. And they're saying, look, it's, you know, we're dealing with criminal activity. We had an opportunity to get $15 million from Sacramento, from Governor Gavin Newsom, to combat retail crime. You missed it. You just forgot to do it. Somebody forgot to do it. We missed out on that help. The big wave of crime in the Hagenberger business area, and then the failure to get a permanent police chief. Now, they got a police chief in on Wednesday. And here's the thing is, he's the 12th police chief in 20 years. That says a lot about something very seriously wrong with your city.
Also, Jeff, looking to upgrade your reputation by saying you're Oakland, San Francisco, seems that they're living in a bubble. because San Francisco's got a much worse reputation than Oakland, and hardly anybody talks about Oakland, except us. We talk about the Oakland A's, but San Francisco is the doom loop. But we're going to go to Oakland. We're going to stay in Oakland. Jeff sends me the attendance of the second or third day of the season at the Oakland Athletic Stadium in Oakland, California. 3,000 odd for a stadium that can probably sit 40 or 50. And they've got years left in waiting for the Vegas stadium. So where are they going to play, Jeff? Are they going to play in front of 3,000 people for the next 4 years?
Well, that could be a possibility. The city of Oakland has offered them a contract extension. It's pretty pricey. It's almost $100 million to play there until they get the Vegas stadium done. But, you know, this is going to be an ongoing problem for however long they stay there, whether they stay in Oakland or whether they are able to secure some play time in Salt Lake City or in Sacramento, which you've talked about, or another town possibly. But, you know, you look at a photo from their current season, their homestand, and like you said, they said 3,000, and then several nights before they had 5,000, I believe. You're hard-pressed to find that many if you kind of start counting, trying to count the number of people there, and you think, man, I may have seen more people at my kids' Little League game. There are so few people at these games.
The solution is to get to Las Vegas as soon as possible. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.